like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you every week here on Atlanta Business Radio X, where we interview some of the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and running a successful business. I'm sitting here, as I do each week, with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the founder and executive director for the KSU Center of Entrepreneurship. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on there at KSU. But remember, in the Shrimp Tank, we're doing some amazing things here, right here in Georgia, which is A, we're talking to some of the brightest and best young entrepreneurs about their ideas. We've seen ideas from auctioneers to fixing up things that are happening in dorms and much, much more. It's amazing, amazing stuff what these kids are coming up with. I want to ask Chris later what happened to my man that had the paratrooper cord for skateboards. I was really interested about that and sad I wasn't able to mentor him. But we're also talking to some of the brightest and best business owners across the state of Georgia. If you're a young entrepreneur or even a successful entrepreneur, how do you learn out there today? Do you read a book? Do you go to a conference? Or can you learn from other successful business owners on how to make your business even better? So, Chris, what's going on today?
Yeah, see, what you just said reminded me of that Chinese proverb, right? A single conversation with a wise man is worth a month's study in books. So just think about this episode alone, right? How much knowledge is going
again.
To be dropped.
I like that. That's good.
So yeah, a single conversation with a wise man is worth a month's study in books.
Famous Chinese proverb.
Absolutely.
It's not your lucky numbers are 6, 9, 11, right. 18, 21, 28. That's not it?
That's not it.
Okay. If you like Shrimp Tank listeners, we can give that away every week. I know what the lucky numbers are. I'm clairvoyant, so I can tell you that along the way. Look, we always like talking about what's going on at KSU. If you haven't really checked it out, KSU is really sort of the hub of what's going on in growing entrepreneurship, I feel, in the state of Georgia. Chris has done a great job growing the Center for Entrepreneurship. I actually got to teach a class out there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was awesome. They're still talking about that.
Yeah, the kids were super engaging, and you can just tell there's a thirst and desire out there for something more than, hey, let's just get a college degree or how can I take the skills that I have today, no matter where I am, and grow my skills so I can be a successful entrepreneur. And I know that KSU has been doing this top 100. Where are we at right now in the overall contest?
Yeah, we are sort of on our final lap. We went from 100 student businesses and we are down to three.
Three businesses?
Three businesses. And it has been a journey. And we describe it as Shark Tank meets The Voice. So we have Shark Tank, which everybody is familiar with, similar to what we do here on the Shrimp Tank. But also, we combine it with The Voice. So you have these rock star entrepreneurs mentoring students. Rock star entrepreneurs like Lee Heisman. You know, rock star entrepreneurs like Ted Jenkins. The amount of mentorship and guidance these students get is really the value, I think.
Well, it's fantastic. So tomorrow is what will happen is that the final three will present. Will somebody actually win tomorrow?
Tomorrow we will know the winner. So we are down to our final three. The final three are outstanding. That was one of the challenges of going from 10 to 3 was really challenging. We were supposed to leave the room at 8:30 and I believe we left close to 11 p.m. because it was that hard to choose.
Wow.
So it's been really good. So tomorrow we'll have our final three. They will pitch and it'll be a tough decision, but the decision will be made to see who is our final one for the KSU Top 100. They get $5,000 in cash. There's a $500 in popular vote that anybody can get. And then the balance of the $100,000 comes in services that people have committed and equity from our investors.
I'd throw in $100 at Longhorn Steakhouse if that matters.
Hey, there you go. Absolutely. A nice ribeye.
You need to eat when you're running a startup, too. Maybe I should give it to them at 7-Eleven. I don't know, something like that. I want to know what's our update. You know, for those of you that don't know how this theme song came about, the theme song that we have for the Shrimp Tank, which I think is pretty cool, was actually done by a college student who is an aspiring rapper. And I have to tell you something, if you haven't seen all of his music now, you can check it out on YouTube. So what's happening with Rhodey right now?
Yeah, good old Rhodey. And he will be at our event tomorrow because he was also part of the KSU Top 100. He made it to the Top 20, which is amazing. But Rhodey is actually headlining at the Masquerade. And for those who aren't familiar with Atlanta, Masquerade is just a phenomenal venue. And he will be headlining. I thought he was going to be opening for somebody, but he's actually headlining on May 25th. So
wow,
for those out there that want to go out to the Masquerade and hear a great student rapper, the creator of our opening theme song, Rhodey, it's going to be great. It's going to be a show.
I listened to his music. I think it's pretty good. It's a little bit dark, but it's pretty good. I like it overall. I can see that there's some, trouble moments going on there. But overall, I thought the music was pretty good.
It's awesome. And how could you not like a rapper that uses my name in a rap?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, right?
I had an X-rated version of the Shrimp Tank song. I was going to share it with Rhodey at some point, but I know we can't play it here. Well, I guess we could because this is not FCC regulated, but we won't. We'll spare you that. Now, we're going to bring on our guest, Jamie Bodner, in a second, but I always like to talk about what's going on in the entrepreneurship world. And I thought this story was really interesting. I had read in Entrepreneur Magazine is about Dan Kahn. Now, many people don't know that name, K-A-N, Dan Kahn. You ought to look it up because he applied for about 35 jobs after he graduated from Claremont McKenna College. Anyone hear about that one lately?
No.
Definitely not. There's definitely not a Division I-A team playing at Claremont McKenna College. But I'll say this to you, that he didn't get the 35 jobs. So what did he do? He decided to join a startup. And he joined a startup, and that startup was called Cruise. And I don't know if anyone has heard about Cruise, but they just sold it to General Motors for $1
billion. $1
billion. $1 billion.
With a B.
With a B. So I guess the question I ask you as you educate students at KSU, Chris, is that what do you tell them about this idea of failure and what it means to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's interesting, especially with that age group, millennials. There's almost this fear and this mark of failure, you know, like, and they're so afraid to sort of admit that. And so we do a lot of things to sort of change the way they perceive failure. You know, is failure being the necessary hangover of success? You know, failure is not living the life that you imagine and living somebody else's life, you know, and reframing what we call failure and define failure. And we also celebrate the failure because, you know, failure is part of the entrepreneurial process, and it's not a failure unless you learn if you learn something from it. So whether or not you succeed or fail every week, we ask the same question. What did you learn from that? Hey, you know what? I failed. I didn't hit my key performance indicator. Great. What did you learn from that? Because neither failure nor success is ever final.
Well, if you haven't checked out that Latrell Sprewell commercial, they're actually showing him on talking about failure too. It was a pretty interesting commercial. You got to check it out on TV. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. live. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder of the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship. And you can always catch a replay of all of our podcasts, including today at shrimptankpodcast.com. We're very excited. We continue to have tons of inflow of people that are telling us they love the show and what's happening and what we're doing with entrepreneurship here in the state of Georgia. Today, I feel really excited to bring on our guests. We've got a different kind of business today. So we bring on different kinds of business owners every week. And we're sitting here with Jamie Bodner, who is the owner and founder of Pinnacle Fitness, which opened up in 2008, which is a personal training gym. And we thought this would be interesting because we want to talk about, well, what does this model look like? If you want to open up some sort of personal shop or personal training gym, could you do it? And how does it work? So Jamie, thanks for coming on the program today.
Hey, pleasure to be here today. Thank you.
So I'm curious. I know that you're from New Jersey, and it's not a stereotype that
New
all
York.
Oh, New York?
I
thought you're from New Jersey. No?
Long Island.
Well, see, that doubles it up because whether you're from New York or New Jersey, pretty much all you need is a guinea tea and hang out by the beach and say that you drive an Iroxy. And that's pretty much the stereotype of what they say from people. Is there any truth to that or no?
There's a lot of truth to that. You got to have the free weights in the back before you get to the beach to pump up. Yeah.
So a lot of people that are from the Northeast in that area, New York, New Jersey, find themselves at the gym. And I'm curious about how you got started to get to this idea of opening up Pinnacle Fitness, especially it's really right in the heart of Buckhead, a beautiful, beautiful gym. How did you get the idea of opening up this kind of business?
You know, growing up, I never thought in a million years I'd be a personal trainer and own a gym. I was working in the corporate world up in New York, and 9/11 happened, and I was 24 years old, and I said, you know, I want to leave New York for a moment. Went down to South Florida and fell in love with South Florida very quickly. And I was 24 and I said, I got to work for at least the next 50 years. And I just kept saying to myself, I want to change. And I always loved being in a gym and I loved helping people. So I said, you know what? I'm at this age where I'm going to give it a shot and change up my life, and started pursuing personal training. And one thing led to the next, and moved to Atlanta. And here we are, opening up Pinnacle Fitness.
8 years later.
Yeah. 7 years later.
Seven years later. So
yeah.
A gym to me is one of those stereotypical businesses where somebody gets into it because you're obviously, you know, you obviously work out, you're obviously in shape, and you help other people and you enjoy that. But how do you move from that, hey, I really enjoy doing the thing that I do, to moving to, okay, I really enjoy owning the thing that I do? How do you make that transition from doing it to owning it?
It was a tough transition. There's no question. There was a lot of back and forth personally. But I started by doing what I love and helping individuals by myself. And then I went to where I started a personal training service. So I had a couple of other employees and we went to facilities. And that was nice, but it wasn't the feel that I wanted. I wanted more of a family feel, a more connection with the clients and with the employees. And that's where I said, when I moved to Atlanta with my wife, who is from Atlanta, we decided in 2005, we moved to Atlanta and we said, you know, we're going to do a facility. And we're going to have a family atmosphere, a family style. I call us like the Cheers of gyms, because everyone knows each other's names and we all joke, have fun. You know you're going to work. You know you're going to sweat. You know you're going to be exhausted. But it's in a good way, and you smile and laugh and high five each other along the way. So it was a tough transition, and it was a great decision, though.
One of the things I wonder about looking at a business like this is how to deal with the aspect of turnover. I can imagine, one, it can be hard to find good personal trainers. And then the question is, you know, how do you build the culture in there to get personal trainers to not only want to join you, but to want to stay over time and not say, hey, you know what? I've been the chef in this restaurant for 5 years and the owner's been getting all the accolades. Now I want to own my own restaurant. You know, how do you deal with that?
That's a great question. It is a huge struggle that's been in our business and just in the fitness world in general, because I think every fitness person's dream is to own their own facility or have a webcam that they train people online. And so they have some
Does
sort
that
of...
that happen? People train people on a webcam?
Yeah, it's definitely becoming more popular.
Not triple X stuff, though. It's not X-rated stuff?
No. It's real stuff. There's some good stuff out there. There's no question.
Really?
Believe it or not, there is. The truth is that turnover rate's kind of high. But in terms of the employees, it's been a long work in progress. We've had some people that didn't work in the very beginning, that they did want to just come in, build a clientele and leave, or come in and learn how we do our system and take it somewhere else. And I've personally gotten better over the years of interviewing trainers as they come on to see if this is what they want or if they want to just be part of a team. Because that's what we offer is a team atmosphere, which you don't get in a lot of gyms. Of course, I mean, look, everyone's there because they got to put food on the table, and we pay our trainers very well. So they really can't go somewhere else and make the same kind of money they make with us. You know firsthand, we're not the cheapest gym in the city. So,
Right. You
know, we were able to pay the trainers a good amount where we can keep quality people and keep them for a long time. So it's...
So how do you... You know, I imagine a relationship that you have with your clients is personal. And so people want to work with you, but then you've got to scale your business and grow it, and you have to bring on other people. So how do you make sure that that level of service that you as the owner is delivering is consistent throughout all the trainers that you hire?
Fantastic question. Again, you guys got good experience with questions.
Well, Chris was going to try out for Anderson Cooper's job is coming up here. Yeah. No? You're not going to take that over at some point?
Yeah, I don't think so, despite my white hair. So probably not.
I was thinking about doing it at some point, but I realized due to my potty mouth that would last literally 13 or 14 seconds and it would end at that point.
I heard Howard Stern's looking for a sidekick.
Hey, I would do it. I'd be Jackie the Joke Man for a few days if they pay me a tenth of Stern's salary. Jeez, I would do it.
So to your question, I stay in contact with a lot of our clients along the way. Because I tend to work with them in the very beginning, whether it be one session or 1 month, depends what they need. I have a ton of experience personally with orthopedic issues and post surgeries. And so that's kind of my specialty. And the truth is, not everyone's as healthy and fit as Ted Jenkins over here and can just kind of do anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling intimidated because I am the least fit person in the studio right now.
Yeah,
you know,
Hans
and don't think I didn't notice
Franz.
It. So, yeah.
We all start somewhere. Got to start somewhere. But I stay in touch with a lot of the clients. And we have weekly meetings with the trainers to make sure we're staying on points of what we want to do with the clients and make sure we're achieving what the client's goals are. Because as a client, goals change. So they can come in for one reason. I want to lose weight. And then all of a sudden, 6 months from then, they've kind of lost the weight they want. Now they want to shape their body more. So their goals change as well. So it's the synergy of working with the clients and making sure we stay on point for what they're looking for. And then we deliver. And we have a whole team too. So the one thing about our gym that's different is a lot of our trainers will train multiple clients or the clients change with different trainers. So you're not just seeing the same person every time you come in. And it's really added a nice dynamic to the gym. Ted actually experienced that. It's because we have certain kind of beliefs: energize, not brutalize; fatigue, not failure. There's certain scientific principles we stick to in our training styles, but each trainer has a different way of delivering it. So it's nice to kind of change it up and see a different face and a different style.
Let me just say, I didn't have the energize, not brutalize today. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened at 5:30 this morning. I do want to ask you though, for people that want to open up a business, and I imagine this is true if you were going to be a hairstylist opening up a salon or those kinds of businesses where you branch out as sort of a sub-agent of another business, what kind of capital and how did you go about raising the capital? Because I've seen the equipment in the gym and I see it in the gym they build in these buildings. So how hard is it to come up with the capital to start the business?
It depends. It really does. So you know, when I wasn't planning on opening a gym up in 2008, it was actually going to be a couple of years later. I had a client who was very wealthy who kind of just threw it out there and said, hey, I'm going to give you the money it takes to open a gym up. And that's what got me working fast to find a location, put the business model together. And at the last minute, he looks at the business model and not for lack of the business model, he just decided, I don't want to do this and I'm not going to do it. So then I had to struggle to figure out how to raise the capital. And truth is, I took a second mortgage out on my home, borrowed as much money as I can from the bank, and I pulled it together in a couple of months to pay for everything I planned for. So to answer the question, it depends. Some people are willing to just give the money to loan it. In my scenario, that was the intention. And then it kind of flipped around and we just made it happen. And like I said, I took a mortgage out of my house and I didn't tell my wife about it right off the bat. I said, after the fact, I said, hey, this business, I hope it works.
So would you advise that for the aspiring entrepreneurs in the audience? Don't tell the wife about the mortgage?
No, that did not go over well. That did not go well. But yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're going to take a quick break from our commercial sponsors and we come back with Jamie Bodner, who's the owner of Pinnacle Fitness. We're going to find out what's the most important piece of equipment you need in our gym. So stay tuned for our segment, Hot or Not, right after we take a break from our sponsors.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder for the KSU Center of Entrepreneurship. I have to tell you something. I get excited when I say that every single time because there are unbelievable things going on at Kennesaw State right now. This school is skyrocketing, due in part to what Chris Hanks is doing over dealing with kids that literally are building businesses from scratch. And before we ask Jamie our hot or not session, I was just curious, what happened to our guy who was made these paratrooper cords so you could carry a skateboard around his back? Did it evolve at all, or is he basically, you know, doing funny business in his room?
You're talking about the guy who rejected you?
Yes, I did. It doesn't. I have to tell you, I don't get rejected often. And when I do, I'm hurt right now. The pain has not gone away yet, especially losing to RJ Patel. I mean, it was, it was very difficult.
Yes, to be rejected by a skateboarder.
For a cleaning service guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were rejected. So we had part of the experience of KSU Top 100, if the mentors wanted the same person to work with, the student got to choose. And so the business owners then had to pitch to the students, which was a real fun and a reversal. And then the student had to choose. And so we had that situation with our skateboarder who made these basically these paracords that put the skateboard on your back so you can carry it around like a backpack in a very, very simple way. And so Ted went against RJ and RJ ended up winning. So yeah. So, but you will see your guy tomorrow at the KSU Top 100 luncheon and he will be celebrating his business and we'll get an update from him tomorrow at the lunch where we celebrate our finalists for the KSU Top 100.
Well, I'm excited to see him be successful. And which brings you to our little lightning round here called Hot or Not, where we ask our business owners some questions and see where they think they should have been or they will be in the future. First question on here, Jamie, is it a good idea for an entrepreneur to hire family members?
Yes, for me.
And why do you say that?
My mother-in-law, for now, 8 years has been our bookkeeper.
Oh.
It's. I know. I laugh too.
You
say
you can't mess up on the business.
I'll tell you the good part about that though. She's partially deaf, so she can't hear very well. So it actually works out really well.
You lost money this month. What? What?
So for me, yes. I would say no. Generally, it would say no normally.
Hmm. All right. So in your business, I find this question particularly interesting. Business plan or no business plan?
Business plan, definitely.
So you did do a business plan.
Absolutely.
So you are sort of, the stereotype of, hey, I'm just going to train and build my client base and jump in because I know what I'm doing to train. The idea that you sat down and did a business plan? Interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I had to. I think it's got to be on paper. It's got to be on paper. I mean, some of it's guessing, of course, some of the projections of the numbers you're going to do, but it's got to be on paper.
Hot or not, sell supplements at the gym?
Good. Well, we just started selling supplements, so hot. Yes. We're just getting it launched.
The fifth section.
Nobody pitched me this morning.
We're just getting launched. We're just getting the product on the shelf, and we're going to write up a whole.
Well, I only asked that, Chris, because what's interesting is that you should note this, by the way, entrepreneurs. When you look at big franchise models such as Subway, right? It's very difficult for a Subway owner to be able to make a lot of money doing one Subway, so they have to scale. And when you own a business, I do know a few people that own CrossFits and things like that, and you have one location, you either are going to have a choice over time, right? Which is that you build multiple locations and figure out how to scale your business out that way, or you have to figure out how to create more revenue in the square footage that you have. So I was curious, what you're thinking about, because some gyms I've seen over time will build a juice bar or they'll build, a little store to buy shirts and yoga pants and things like that. I was wondering what your feelings were on that.
Yeah. So we just started. I found this company. It's actually a local company here in Georgia, and they do very good natural supplements. There's as little ingredients as possible in it. It tastes great. And so since 2008, I've always wanted to do that. I just never found the right product I can stand behind. We finally found the product that I'm comfortable using myself and promoting to our clients.
Wow.
So.
All right. Payout bonuses to trainers or not?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And how does that work? And is it like, number of sessions that you hold in that kind of business? Or is it who can lift the most weight? How does that work?
There's a whole bunch of different ways. The way we do it is we pay a commission on people to trainers that they bring in clients. We'll pay them a commission.
Yeah.
And then the truth is, at the end of the year, I kind of look over the numbers and who's been busting their tail and making it happen. And there's no scientific algorithm we do to it. It's just who's performing.
I want to come in on a Tuesday or Thursday morning and I want to put down $100 and get all the trainers side by side and see who could do the most push-ups till they fail.
I'll tell you what, who'll take that is Reese.
Will he really?
He's the small guy, but man, that guy, he's like a little bunny rabbit. He won't stop.
Hot or not, promote from within?
Hot. Absolutely.
And how do you get promoted in your kind of business? Will you eventually hire a manager in that kind of business when you own like a chiropractic clinic, a salon, a gym, how do you extricate yourself from the business?
So Jeremy is a great example. He started off as a front desk person. He started off as answering the phones and he worked his
way
up.
Was he really at the front when he started?
He was at the front. Marissa was at the front when she first started.
Oh,
and
my God. They've come a long way.
Yeah, they're doing great now. They're fantastic. And so, I definitely believe in people starting off and working their way up for sure. And we're down the road, we're talking about some other facilities and making people managers. So those are so I definitely believe within. If you got the right people, why not?
Hot or not, take on equity partners.
No.
Not. You're 100%?
100%, yes. And when I first opened, I actually had a partner lined up and we were moving forward. And it was so funny. What broke us apart was the color of painting the gym. That was obviously more than that, but that's ultimately where we're like, you know what? We both have different visions, different ideas. Let's cut this before it's a real problem. So I thought about it in the beginning and decided if I can make this happen on my own, it will be better in the long run.
Yeah, well, that's actually kind of smart because a lot of times if small things are a big deal at the beginning of the relationship, when everything's in the honeymoon period, imagine how things might be when things get tough. So there's a lot to learn from that.
Absolutely.
Same with customers, firing a customer. Okay, this customer might be high maintenance and difficult, and maybe I should not necessarily take on this customer if it's going to be too much of a distraction. I might lose money on the opportunity. So.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you every Tuesday live from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're sitting here with Jamie Bodner, who is the owner of Pinnacle Fitness. It's a wonderful gym for those of you that are in Buckhead. It's right behind sort of Whole Foods and near Churchill's and those kinds of destinations. But you got to take a peek at it at some point. It's really, really cool. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, I want to find out from Jamie what happens if you have a woman and a man that have to get ready at changing time right after they work out. So take a break from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Are you praying that your accountant gets you a tax refund this year? If you said yes, then your tax plan has already failed. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get our free no obligation guide on 6 ways to save money on taxes right now. Make a smart money move today. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get your free guide today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, member at FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. A quick shout out again to Rhody, who's going to be at Masquerade very, very soon. We'll get you all the dates and locations so you can check him out when he busts out his raps.
Drop some rhymes
on here. I'm Ted Jenkin, your co-host, sitting here with you on The Shrimp Tank with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the founder and executive director of the KSU Center of Entrepreneurship. And we're sitting here with Jamie Bodner, who's the owner of Pinnacle Fitness. And we're talking all about how to run and build a business, but specifically the gym business, which I think is a great topic today because there's a lot of applications. I mentioned a bunch of them. I've seen family-run chiropractic clinics, and I've seen stylists that have gone to own their own hair salons and things like that. So there's a lot of parallel-type businesses that you can take a lead on when you look at this kind of business. So we go through our lightning round here every week called Plead the Fifth. We're going to ask Jamie some questions. He can plead the fifth to one of them, although since he's from New York and not New Jersey, we might say no. He can plead the fifth to none of them. You can't plead the fifth in New York, you know, and they basically pull you in the alley. That's it. You have to basically confess at that point. So first one up on here, did you ever, when you started the gym or when you brought on trainers, did you ever come close to actually missing payroll?
No.
Really?
Impressive.
Well, that's great. Well, that's great as a business owner.
It's one of the things I pride myself. Again, in the gym world, there's a lot of different areas. And one of the things, look, everyone, you work to earn money. And why should I not pay you for what you work? So that was really important to me to not do that.
What's the most annoying thing about your clients?
Plead the fifth.
Yeah, I know one or two I could comment on, but I won't do that. I'll let Jamie. It's his gym. He could comment on that. You got some funny characters in there.
This is true. People are funny. Yes.
I suppose as long as they pay, it's okay. All right. How about your toughest competitor in the city?
What about him?
Well, you know, if you had a name out there and say, hey, look, this is the next hill we try to take down, you know, it may not be as big as a LA Fitness because that's not your model, but who would you say is the toughest competitor that you know of in Atlanta, or one that's done great?
Probably Eclipse One-on-One is a they're similar model. They're a good gym. They got some good people. We're a little different. We're a little tighter, but I'd say they're Probably.
So what's the biggest business mistake that you made that you were incredibly embarrassed by?
You know, I think I said this earlier before we were on air, but I tend to forget the bad things. So I don't.
So is that intentional that you make sure that you just focus on the positive and celebrate what you have as opposed to what you don't? Or is it just that you just forget?
No, I'm actually trying to think of one of those huge mistakes. And
so you were buying time. Yeah, so yeah,
I might have to come back to that one. I don't want to say I'm pleading the fifth. I'm going to have to come back to it.
I would say plead the fifth to two gym clients ever hook up in the gym.
Gym clients, not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Really?
You know, I'm not there all the time, but...
Now, I asked about this whole shower thing because one day I was showering and I came out of the shower and I had to go get ready in the morning and I noticed that there was like a dress that was hanging up on the wall and I thought, I wonder who's going to be showering in the shower next to me. Clearly, it was not one of the guys that was out there and all of a sudden, I had somebody, you know, getting ready in the morning next to me. You know, that was all right.
Just one of the treats in the morning.
It was. It makes you want to stay in shape more, you know.
That was the idea. Yeah. I thought I saw you doing push-ups in the shower.
Best leader.
Best leader.
Best leader.
That I know of?
Yeah, like who do you, like if someone says, okay, here's the best leader that I, you know, that inspires you to be a better business owner, who would that be for you? Either somebody you know or don't know.
It's an uncle I have, Uncle Mark, who is a ragingly successful businessman in the garment district up in New York. And I worked for him for a few years.
Tough business.
There's no question about that. That was a tough business. Definitely cutthroat. I mean, every business is, but that was an interesting one. But he was definitely a leader that I learned a lot of very good things and a lot of very bad things. So is Uncle Mark.
Have you ever had to fire anyone for talking down or bad to a client?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It was early on when we first started. It was interesting. We knew each other before I opened, obviously. And he was a good guy, a good trainer. And something happened and it kind of, so I brought him on when I first opened the gym. He was with me for the first, it was about 4 or 5 months. And early on, I can tell quickly something wasn't right with him. And I don't know if he's in a bad money position. I don't know what his situation was. But he started getting mad at a client for trying to change times. And that was he wasn't there that week. Hmm. Yeah.
What's the biggest reason your customers say no?
They don't want to sweat.
Is that the biggest obstacle you have to overcome to overcome their objections?
No, but that's some clients will come in every so often and say, hey, I can't sweat today, so I don't want to do.
Oh, so they won't want to do
certain exercises.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. You know, sometimes moms might be running up to school right after workouts or something along those lines, have a meeting.
There's a game of Parcheesi in the corner. Let's go. Jeez.
Yeah. So, like, why come to the appointment to begin with? That's kind of interesting. You know,
something's always better than nothing.
Yeah.
Something's always better than nothing. So, we tend to usually break a bead or two of sweat out of them, even though they say that.
Well, this has been great stuff today. We're going to do a post-show wrap-up. And as I mentioned in the beginning, you can always catch, if you didn't hear the whole broadcast, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. You can hear Jamie Bodner's entire interview that we talked about today. There were some great tips today. If you're thinking about starting this kind of business, or there are a lot of business today that I would say you can start up as one person, it will eventually get larger. But as our economy becomes more mobile, you have technology becomes more mobile. Jamie was talking about webcams today on the show. There's all sorts of new businesses that will involve with this thriving technology. So, Jamie, for those people who are listening, and I recommend that you do check this out. It's a great gym. You got great trainers that are there. How can somebody who wants to learn more about the gym get in touch with you or learn more about coming for a training session?
They can email us directly. It's very simple. It's just my full name, jamiebodner@gmail.com. They can look at our website, pinnaclefitnessgym.com, and they can call us at 404-375-4911.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Jamie, and thanks, Chris, for co-hosting today. We're really excited for next week. We've got two great guests coming on, Shannon Russo and Chris Dunn, who are the owners of Kinetics. This is all about recruiting. You want to know how to staff and recruit your firm. They're some of the best that we know in the city of Atlanta. Thanks for always as listening to the Shrimp Tank. And again, you get a replay of the entire broadcast and Jamie's post-show wrap-up on shrimptankpodcast.com. See y'all next week.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win.